Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. The global COVID-19 pandemic fueled safe haven investment demand for gold. This offset weakness in the consumer market for the precious metal caused by lockdown measures enforced by governments across the globe to curb the spread of the virus. And to find out more about the latest trends for this safe haven asset, we're joined by Andrew Naylor, head of ASEAN and public policy at the World Gold Council. Andrew, the World Gold Council has just released its gold demand trends report for the first quarter. Can you tell us what impact COVID-19 has had on demand for the commodity?
Well, first of all, demand grew modestly, marginally by about 1% in Q1 this year compared to Q1 last year. That was driven by two areas of demand that perhaps work slightly differently. So on one hand, you had an increase in investment demand. We've had the highest quarterly inflows into ETFs, for example, in 4 years. And the reason for that was mainly increased global economic uncertainty. We certainly don't know what the full extent and duration of the global or partially global lockdown is going to be. We don't know how long the recovery is going to take, and in what form that recovery will actually take. So because of all of these economic uncertainties, that's translated into a lot of financial market volatility. And in situations like that, you see investors, particularly institutional investors, they seek liquid, safe haven assets like gold.
So what kind of numbers are we looking at for ETFs in the first quarter?
Well, we've had almost 298 tons of inflows into global ETFs. That's taken holdings in ETFs to a record high of just over 3,000 tons, 3,185 tons. So that's quite a significant increase. But as I said, that's really driven by the economic uncertainty. And in times of uncertainty, investors look for a safe haven. There aren't many around. Gold is an ideal one. It's a physical asset, liquid, and it protects wealth and it diversifies portfolios. So that's why investors turn to gold in times like this. And we've seen that, you know, the gold price at an 8-year high, it's up 6% this year. And that's a function of, you know, of a number of things, but one of which is increased investment demand.
Now, governments globally have been implementing lockdowns. Here in Singapore, we have a circuit breaker. What impact have these movement orders had on physical gold purchases?
COVID-19 has had a different impact on consumer demand. Consumer demand is driven through mainly jewellery demand and also bars and coins bought by consumers. COVID had unusual impact that we haven't seen before, certainly not in my lifetime, where you have, you know, general shutdowns. So jewellery shops, bar and coin shops, they're closed. Consumers are confined to their homes. They can't actually purchase. But because the gold price is also very high, in times like that, you often see consumers, either they hold on to their jewellery holdings but don't accumulate more because the price is high, or sometimes they decide to bank their wins and realise the gains. So that's why when the gold price is high, jewellery demand tapers off a little bit. But that process has been exacerbated, if you like, by the really unusual situation that we find ourselves in due to COVID.
What impact do you think all of this will have on pricing then, once we start to see all of this turn around?
I can't comment specifically on price, but I, you know, we can talk about demand, and certainly the logistical challenges around purchasing gold jewellery, those challenges should come to an end as the lockdowns are lifted. There will be, we're moving into a longer term period of continued economic and financial uncertainty. We're certainly heading into quite a sustained low and negative interest rate environment. You've got quantitative easing worldwide, unprecedented fiscal stimuli worldwide, and we just don't know when this will end. But when you have that kind of uncertainty, there is a need for both consumers and institutional investors for a safe, liquid asset that protects wealth. So in that kind of environment, you do always see a renewed interest in gold.
So taking a look at the region, where did we see the largest fluctuations in terms of demand for gold?
The jewellery market, demand for gold jewellery is really, you know, driven by India and China. They together account for over 50% of global jewellery demand. The rest of Asia accounts for a significant proportion of jewellery demand as well. So the downturn in jewellery demand was more pronounced in Asia, and in particular China. which is the largest jewellery market, a gold jewellery market in the world, where demand was down 65% of the 13-year low. That's partly because China was obviously the first country to be affected by the pandemic. It's also been the first country that's been affected to start to emerge from it. So the shutdowns in China occurred earlier in Q1. So it's inevitable that China, our Q1 figures, will be affected the most. But jewelry is an important market in China. And, you know, as I said, it is at a 13-year low now. I do expect, though, when we get out of this crisis and that the lockdown restrictions fully come to an end, that demand should start to pick up. I mean, a lot of the downturn in jewelry demand is that logistical challenge presented by COVID-19.
What about gold bars? Is COVID having the same impact as on other physical gold, such as jewelry?
Again, I mean, bars and coins, the physical asset bars and coins, you know, have similarly had some of the similar logistical challenges the gold industry has faced. You can buy gold bars and coins and jewelry online, but a lot of people, certainly retail investors, tend to, you know, prefer to go to a shop and take the actual physical. So there has been an issue, a little bit more cautious, but the motivation, it's more about the logistical challenges of buying bars and coins. Certainly we've seen a bit of a downturn in Asian markets. Western demand for gold coins, that increased, you know, that sort of offset some of the fall in bar and coin investment in Asia. But it's similar to the jewelry market in terms of the logistical challenges, also the high price at the moment. Some consumers are, you know, cautious about their purchases. They might try and take advantage of the gains that they've already made. So in a high price environment, you tend to see consumers reacting to that slightly differently to institutional investors.
We're speaking to Andrew Naylor, head of ASEAN and public policy at the World Gold Council. Andrew, I want to ask you, looking more widely at the supply chain, can you tell us what impact COVID-19 has had on gold demand for the tech sector?
So technology demand is down by about 8%. You know, that's not surprising, given that we've had a general economic shutdown. If you look at where gold is used, it's used in high-end technology, it's used in LEDs, it's used in medical diagnostics. In fact, there's some research taking place at the moment about gold's use in COVID-19 test kits and so on. But it's used in highly critical electronic items where safety is paramount. Gold doesn't corrode. You know, so it's used in satellite technology, for example, and in the medical sector where safety is absolutely paramount. But demand for gold as an input in technology really depends on the ability of manufacturers to manufacture. And we've had this general shutdown, as I mentioned. So that really has impacted technology demand. But as it's likely that certainly manufacturing will rebound perhaps more quickly than consumer demand, there tends to be a bit more of a lag with consumer demand, technology demand should pick up a bit earlier than perhaps consumer demand.
Talking about supply chain, let's go back to the source. What impact is COVID-19 having on, you know, gold mines, gold recycling plants? Are they no longer in action?
Not across the board, no. Supply is down by 4%. If you look at the structure of supply, about two-thirds is mining. Some of the mines have had to cease operations, but not all. I've seen some mines in South America, in Africa, and other places have been able to keep producing. A lot of mines are actually automated. Some of the large-scale mines are automated as well. But then in China, which is a huge gold producer now, and in some other countries there has been a shutdown. So it's been a bit of a mixed picture when it comes to the impact on mines. But obviously, health and safety of workforces is absolutely paramount. So the large-scale mines are taking the cue of national governments. You know, we have seen an impact, but it's a bit of a mixed picture, if you like. There's about a 4% overall decline in mine output. Recycling has also been down by about 4%, and the reason for that was primarily consumers. It's consumers that often recycle gold, either selling jewelry or bars and coins, melting down through a refiner or through shops.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Andrew Naylor, head of ASEAN and public policy at the World Gold Council.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.